Beloved community, grace and peace to you. Today and every day, we have a beautiful calling to continue becoming people of justice and of kinship. Not merely people with good intentions, not only people with thoughtful theology, but people whose lives testify that another world is possible with God. The identity statement of our First Baptist Church declares, celebrating the God-given worth of every person, we seek to worship and act in solidarity with people displaced, silenced, and harmed by injustice. We have much to learn as we undertake the difficult work of healing relationships damaged by complicity with and indifference to forms of oppression. That is not a marketing statement. It is not public relations language. It is a confession. And confession in Scripture is where healing begins. The prophet Isaiah speaks to people who believed worship alone was enough. They fasted, they prayed, they practiced religion. Yet their society remained violent and unequal. Into this contradiction, God speaks through Isaiah. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice? To undo the thongs of yoke? To let the oppressed go free? The prophet announces something unsettling. God is not impressed by worship disconnected from liberation. Walter Brueggemann reminds us that the prophets consistently expose what he calls the royal consciousness, the tendency of societies and institutions to normalize suffering while protecting privilege. The prophetic task is to dismantle numbness, to awaken grief where there has been indifference, to awaken hope where there has been despair. Isaiah is doing precisely that. The people want spiritual affirmation. God demands social transformation. They want worship services. God wants chains broken. They want rituals. God wants reparations. They want certainty. God wants solidarity. And perhaps that is the hardest word for the Universal Church today, solidarity. Solidarity is not pity. It is not charity from above. Solidarity means tying our lives to the woundedness of others. When Isaiah says, share your bread with the hungry, the Hebrew imagination is deeper than mere donation. It means recognizing the hungry person's fate is bound up in your own. The prophet envisions a society where nobody is disposable. That is also the vision of Paul in Romans 12. Let love be genuine. Extend hospitality to strangers. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Paul is describing kinship, not shallow niceness, not conflict avoidance, not performative inclusion, kinship, a community where the suffering of one becomes the concern for all. Howard Thurman, one of my very favorite theologians, once wrote that religion of Jesus speaks most deeply to those with their backs against the wall. Jesus did not organize a spiritual escape from the world's pain. He created communities of radical belonging in the midst of it. And that is what the church is called to become. Not an enclave of the morally superior, not a fortress protecting comfort, but a sanctuary of courageous kinship. Now, kinship sounds really lovely and beautiful until it costs us something. It costs certainty, it costs innocence, and it costs control. Our identity statement acknowledges this honestly. We have much to learn. That little sentence matters, because justice work begins not with mastery, but with humility. Rosemary Radford Ruther argued that all authentic theology must ask a central question: who benefits and who suffers under the systems we call normal? If theology blesses domination, exclusion, or hierarchy, then it betrays the liberating movement of God. That means churches must examine not only personal prejudice, but structural complicity. Racism is not merely individual hatred. Colonialism is not only historical memory. Sexism is not simply interpersonal behavior. Homophobia is not just disagreement. These are systems that shape bodies, opportunities, safety, visibility, and dignity. And Isaiah says true worship confronts systems. Undo the yoke. Not merely comfort the exhausted, but destroy the very mechanism exhausting them. Judith Plaskow insists that communities of faith must learn to hear voices historically excluded from theological authority. When marginalized people talk about their lived experiences, they're not interrupting theology, they're expanding it. Our identity statement reflects this wisdom. We are committed to learning from the lived experience of others. This is sacred work. Listening is sacred. Listening to Indigenous communities about colonial violence, listening to queer youth about rejection and fear, listening to women about silencing and exclusion, listening to racialized communities about systemic inequality, listening to the poor about economic cruelty. Not defensively, not selectively, not to prepare rebuttals, but for us to be transformed. In God's household, the table, it keeps on expanding. Those once excluded become hosts. Those once silenced become teachers. That image matters because Christian community is not supposed to mirror the hierarchies of empire. The church must be the place where domination ends, where dignity is restored, where every person hears, "You belong, you matter, your life bears the image of God." But sadly, we know the universal church has often failed in this calling. The church has twisted scripture to bless slavery. The church has justified and aided colonialism. The church has harmed and excluded LGBTQ+ people. The church has silenced and minimized women. The church has aligned itself with wealth while ignoring the poor. And so repentance is necessary. Not shame for its own sake, not endless guilt, but truth-telling that makes healing possible. Liberation theologian Gustavo Gutierrez teaches that God has a preferential option for the poor. Now, that does not mean that God loves some people more than others, but has a foundational commitment to prioritize the needs, dignity, and liberation of some of society's most marginalized and oppressed members. It means God moves towards those crushed by injustice, because injustice contradicts divine love. And if we wish to move toward God, we must also move toward the wounded. The church cannot claim neutrality where human dignity is at stake. Cornel West says, justice is what love looks like in public. Justice is what love looks like in public. What a profound sentence. Justice is not the opposite of love. Justice is love embodied socially. Love feeding hungry children. Love demanding fair housing. Love protecting trans youth. Love confronting racism. Love honoring treaties. Love ensuring health care. Love making room at the table. Love refusing to let suffering become invisible. And this is where Romans becomes intensely practical. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Associate with the lonely and do not repay anyone evil for evil. Paul describes communities shaped not by domination, but mutual care. Barbara Brown Taylor writes that God often appears not in our certainty, but in our willingness to walk through the world awake to one another. Faith is not an escape from complexity. Faith is learning how to remain tender in a wounded world. Tenderness is holy resistance, especially now, because cruelty has become fashionable. Mockery has become entertainment. Indifference has become political strategy. We're trained to fear one another, compete with one another, blame one another. But the gospel insists we belong to one another. Kinship means my flourishing is bound to yours and yours to mine. The ancient rabbis taught that when one life is destroyed, an entire world is destroyed. And when one life is restored, the entire world is restored. Isaiah imagines precisely this restoration. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Repairers of the breach, not protectors of the status quo, not managers of decline, but repairers. People who mend what violence has torn apart. Can you imagine that vocation? A church that repairs trust, repairs dignity, repairs community, repairs relationships between settlers and indigenous peoples, repairs harm done in God's name, repairs the loneliness consuming modern life. That is holy work. But it requires spiritual formation. Our identity statement wisely says we are committed to ongoing spiritual formation. Because justice without spirituality burns out. Spirituality without justice becomes empty. We need practices that deepen compassion, prayer that enlarges courage, worship that dismantles ego, community that teaches accountability. The goal is not moral perfection. The goal is transformation. To become people whose lives reveal the kingdom of God. Many theologians use this language because Jesus' vision was not about hierarchy from above, but relationship among equals. The kingdom of God is a world organized around belonging rather than domination, a kingdom of inclusion, repentance, and repair. And every act of justice becomes a glimpse of that world. Every time someone is truly heard, every time dignity is defended, every time resources are shared, every time exclusion is challenged, every time truth is spoken with love. The kingdom appears among us. Friends, this work is difficult. Our identity statement admits as much. We pray for wisdom and humility as we find our way forward. Yes, because we will make mistakes, we will experience tension, we will confront discomfort, we will discover blind spots. But perfection is not the requirement of discipleship. Courage is. The courage to keep listening. The courage to keep learning. The courage to keep changing. And the courage to remain in relationship. And above all, the courage to love beyond fear. Isaiah promises that when justice and compassion become our way of life, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, not someday, here and now, among communities practicing liberation, among neighbors choosing solidarity, among churches becoming places of repair, light breaking forth in the morning. Friends, the world does not need more religious performance. It needs communities of holy kinship. Communities where people once rejected discover belonging. Communities where wounds are acknowledged rather than hidden. Communities where justice is practiced as a spiritual discipline. Communities where love becomes public and tangible. May we continue becoming such a people. Repairers of the breach. Restorers of streets to live in. And may our worship always lead us toward justice, and our justice always deepen our compassion, and our compassion always widen the circle of kinship, until every child of God can say with certainty, I am seen. I am valued. I belong.